You're listening to Labor Express, Chicago's only English language labor news and current affairs radio program. News for working people by working people. I'm your host, Jerry Mead Lacero, and this is the Monday, April 26, 2010 edition of Labor Express. This weekend in Detroit, Labor Notes held its 2010 conference. The Labor Notes conference is always a good time, and it's the premier event in the United States for progressive labor movement activists. This year's conference was no exception. Indeed, this year saw the highest attendance in the 30-year history of the organization. I recorded hours of interviews and speeches by attendees at this year's conference from all over the world, and over the coming weeks we'll air excerpts of those interviews and speeches for you. But as I've just returned only a short time ago, we're going to only air one piece from the Labor Notes conference, an interview I did with Mark Brenner, director of Labor Notes, summing up this year's conference, and that'll be coming up in just a little bit. We'll also hear about plans for this year's May Day celebrations here in Chicago, which is, of course, next Saturday. And the second half of today's program will be a special episode of Building Bridges from WBAI in New York, taking a closer look at the disaster at the Upper Big Branch Mine in West Virginia, which cost 29 miners their lives. But first, we have this week's Labor News Highs from WIN, Workers Independent News.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
And I'm Jesse Russell.
SEIU's Anna Berger said that President Obama aggressively challenged Wall Street Thursday to halt the reckless practices that crashed the economy. Republicans, though, blocked an effort Thursday by Senate Democrats to begin debate on new rules for financial institutions designed to prevent another crash. Berger said Senate Republicans should stop putting the demands of Wall Street before the needs of America's working families. SEIU says Wall Street is spending at least $1.4 million a day to kill financial regulation reform. The AFL-CIO is applauding the introduction of the Employee Misclassification Protection Act in Congress. It was introduced Thursday by Senator Sherrod Brown and Representative Lynn Woolsey. The AFL-CIO says it's welcome news to millions of workers who are misclassified by their employers as independent contractors rather than as employees. Employers who do that skirt federal and state payroll taxes. Workers lose minimum wage and overtime protections, health and pension benefits, and workers' comp when they're injured on the job. States lose revenue from payroll taxes, too. This bill would require employers to classify workers as employees using a standardized test that's been around since 1947. The bill provides penalties against employers for violating the law. It also protects workers who challenge misclassification from retaliation. The AFL-CIO says this bill is a step in the right direction to protect workers and also to help uphold American labor standards. A majority of San Francisco's city workers are no longer facing layoff threats as the mayor and union reach a compromise. Jesse Russell reports.
A new two-year deal reached between San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom and unions representing city workers has prevented nearly 1,000 layoffs. The new agreement creates 12 unpaid furlough days and saves the city 4.62% of payroll. The unpaid furloughs will start in July. Newsom had originally planned to fire city workers and rehire them on a part-time basis. That plan would have saved 6.25% of payroll, but would have also had an impact on vacation time and pension plans for workers. The new agreement, between the city and the unions, doesn't impact those benefits. Still, even with the deal, 500 workers will see their jobs cut between now and the end of June. Department managers and staffers for the mayor will have their paychecks cut by 10%, while the mayor will lose 15% of his current pay. The police officers' union did not take part in the discussions.
Meanwhile, in San Jose, California, more than 1,300 city workers began receiving notices on Tuesday that they will either be laid off or moved to new lower pay positions. The city is facing a $116 million budget gap. Of the 1,300 workers receiving notices, more than 450 full-time workers will lose their jobs.
A day before it was set to be shuttered, workers have saved a Hugo Boss plant in Ohio. 350 workers will continue to be employed at the plant under a new three-year agreement. The workers will be paid $10 on average during the first year, 20 cents more the second year, and 40 cents more in the third year. For more than a year, workers at the plant have only been working three-day work weeks. Under the new agreement, the hours will increase to 5 days per week. They will also start receiving full health care immediately, even though the plant isn't expected to reopen for 6 to 8 weeks. In order to keep the plant open, a number of workers will still be laid off, but Hugo Boss plans to offer severance packages. The plant has been the target of a number of rallies, including a visit from actor Danny Glover.
The Louisiana oil rig explosion and fire has drawn new attention to safety in the oil sector of the U.S. economy. The United Steelworkers represents workers at oil refineries and says safer practices need to be adopted. USW safety and health specialist Kim Nybarger says in the refinery sector of the oil industry, the push for profit and production often outweighs safety concerns.
I think that there is a production or profit over safety at almost every site. The official stance may not be, but the actual workplace reality of it is production or profit over safety.
Nybarger says the lack of proper and regular maintenance of equipment is a big safety factor in oil refinery operations, but so is understaffing, pushing too few workers for too many hours.
Staffing is an extremely critical issue. It not only has to do with the ability to respond to emergency events, it's also a leader in the tremendous overtime that we see in the industry. Spend a lot of time and money doing alcohol and drug testing for impairment after a worker reaches that 12-hour, 10-hour workday. Lots of times tests have shown they're in the same condition as if they had been drinking alcohol.
At 10:30 a.m. yesterday, trash haulers in Washington's King and Snohomish counties walked off the job. Jesse Russell has more.
Nearly 18,000 Seattle residents went without garbage pickup on Wednesday. Waste Management has a contract that covers nearly half the city. The strike comes as the company and the Teamsters Union, which represents the workers, failed to reach a contract agreement. The Teamsters had waited for 3 weeks for the company to schedule new negotiations. Failing that, they move forward with putting up picket lines. The union has accused the company of violating federal labor laws. Charges include worker retaliation, changing working conditions, and bargaining in bad faith, among others. The previous contract expired on April 1st. The union is seeking medical benefits that are equal to those offered by two other contractors that operate in the region, Cleanscapes and Allied Waste. Nearly 400 workers are on strike. Here is today's economic report. Tuesday was Equal Pay Day in the United States. The day fell as women still strive to reach pay equity with men. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, women who work full-time still earn on average 77 cents to the dollar that men in similar situations earn. African American and Latina women have an even bigger hill to climb. African American women earn on average 67.9% and Latinas earn 58% of what men earn.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're listening to Labor Express Radio News for working people by working people, and that was this week's Labor News Highlights from WIN, Workers Independent News. I want to thank WIN for allowing us to broadcast the material, and I want to encourage our listeners to check out the WIN website at www.laborradio.org. You can also find a link to the WIN website on our website, which is laborexpress.org. Well, I just returned a few hours ago, actually, from the Labor Notes Conference in Detroit, the 2010 conference. Really exciting time. There were worker activists from all over the world at this conference this year, and we'll be airing excerpts from speeches and interviews that I did at the conference over the next few weeks. I won't have time to do a whole lot tonight because I've just returned, but what I do want to do is air for you a interview that I did with Mark Brenner, who's the director of Labor Notes, talking about giving a summation of what happened at this year's conference. We're at the kind of the tail end here of the Labor Notes Conference for 2010. I understand this is the largest Labor Notes Conference of all time. Is that right?
That's right. It's just been unbelievable, Jerry. I think that, you know, as times have gotten tough, the tough are really getting going here with Labor Notes. You see so many people looking for, you know, answers, looking for ways to put the movement back in the labor movement, and that's really what Labor Notes is all about. So I'm inspired. You know, when we started planning this, I was like, how the hell are we going to get 1,000 people to come to Detroit in the middle of the worst economic crisis of our lives? But this really gives me the kind of hope that I think, you know, all of us are searching for, you know, that we can actually turn the ship around, that we can actually start rebuilding this labor movement of ours, and that we can put the fighting spirit back into our unions, back into our community organizations, our worker centers, and do something about this economic collapse. So that's why people were here, and I think they've gotten a lot of tools for their toolbox, gotten a lot of energy, you know, for their batteries, recharged themselves, and ready to get back out on the streets.
I'm glad you brought up the fact that this is the first conference now you've had since this recent recession, since this worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. You know, it's weird. I think there's been different phases of this crisis for activists like us. I think some of us early on really hoped this would be a time that we could see a transformative, you know, a transformation for the country in terms of workers becoming more militant, becoming more active. I think, you know, a year and a half now out from the crisis, there's kind of a sense of disappointment, certainly with the Obama administration, those of the people that put their hope in that. I think they've been really disappointed. But there's also been maybe some concern that we haven't seen the upsurge maybe that we'd hope might come from the economic crisis. But clearly, this is a place for hope. And what's your sense of that?
Well, I mean, I think the best activists in the labor movement sort of call their home base labor notes. That's the way I look at it. But I think that you're absolutely right. A lot of people thought that the crisis itself and the fact that this election was so monumental in terms of both, dropping the curtain on, you know, the Bush years and really kind of rejecting, at least implicitly, a lot of the economic policies that got us in this big mess. What I think we learned is that the crisis itself is not enough to bring change. Election itself is not enough to bring change. We've got to actually make the change happen. I always like to say it's a do-it-yourself movement. I mean, we can't sit around and wait for our labor leaders to do it. We certainly can't sit around and wait for the politicians to do it. They're only going to do it when we light a fire under their ass. And so that's why we're actually getting moving already, so that we can get everybody else moving to try to turn this ship around.
Now, at any labor notice conference, there's multiple tracks going on. There's all kinds of things going on. There's international visitors here, all kinds of different things going on. But there usually is, I'd say, a couple things that really stand out as major themes for the conference. And it sounds to me like the theme that you're describing here is that, you know, what do we need to do to fight back in the midst of this crisis? How do we need to turn this crisis into a real opportunity for change in the country?
That's right. I think we were really trying to focus on the crisis and how we organize in these times. But I also would say that another key theme that we were really trying to hit on is, what is it going to take to win? Last night at our Troublemakers Bank, we honored miners from four different countries who were active in fights with their employers, Colombian miners that have been assassinated. The guy who spoke here had seven attempts on his life, and he has multiple death threats against him every month. We had Valley Inco strikers from Sudbury, Canada, who've been on strike for 9 months, and they were very clear, like everybody knows they need to be, one day longer, one day stronger. They're going to last longer than the company will. And really the one that stood out to me the most, we had boron strikers from the United States. These miners that were locked out in Boron, California, the high desert, against Rio Tinto, this massive mining company. But the one that really stood out to me the most was the Cananea miners. These are folks that were about to go on their 1,000th day on strike. They've occupied the mine. They are waiting. They're worried that the police are going to come in and eject them. They're trying to, you know, get the federal government to make sure that they don't get assassinated and killed. And they are really kind of showing folks here in this country what it takes to win elsewhere, and really give us both the inspiration and the courage to try to do the really to take the risks to really go big in the way we need to go big if we're going to beat these corporations that, you know, they're back to business as usual. Their profits are up. I mean, the headline in today's Detroit News was Ford profits $1 billion. You know, and what are they doing? They're running around asking for concessions from auto workers. It was really unbelievable. I wish that had been in the headlines yesterday. I would have put it in my speech, and I would have been even more pissed off than I was when I was on the mic.
Now, Labor Notes is not just a magazine. It's not just the conferences. And you always focus on the fact that it can't be just about talking. It's also about action. And, of course, you showed that the other day with your action here at the Hyatt. We're at the Hyatt Hotel. This is a unionized hotel. It's why you've held the conference here every 2 years, is because it is a union hotel. But there are Hyatts around the country that are having some serious problems with their oppression against their workers. Can you talk about the action that happened here the other day?
Absolutely. We, like you said, we're all about movement. We're all about action. We did an action in support of restaurant workers on Friday night here, trying to fight for back wages and unpaid tips and stuff like that. We're also pushing really hard to support non-union Hyatt or workers who are trying to organize. In particular, we were focused on two campaigns, one in San Antonio, Texas, where the hotel had agreed to neutrality, and they had, right before the union was about to come in, they had sort of pulled the carpet out from under the workers, and so they're back to square one, trying to organize again. We had folks speaking, and we did a rally in support at lunchtime yesterday, a rally in support of 100 Hyatt workers who were laid laid off. You know, they were given 3 hours notice, laid off from their jobs back in August. They're in the labor movement known as the Hyatt 100. These are amazing, mostly women, mostly immigrant workers who some of them have been working for the company for 20 years. We had a woman who spoke, Araceli, who had been there 23 years, and she found out three hours before they turned her out in the street with a plastic bag full of her stuff. She got 10 minutes to clean out her locker. That this is the kind of loyalty the company was showing them. Now, to be fair, like you said, this is a union hotel. They do right by their employees. You know, we got to tussle over it, but they understand that when workers want a union, they should just get out of the way and let that process happen. Let workers decide for themselves whether they're going to have a union or not. But corporate headquarters needs to get the message loud and clear that if they're not willing to solve these situations in San Antonio and in Boston, we're going to have problems all over the country. That union workers, that the entire labor movement, you know, union and alike, you know, and our allies are not going to patronize Hyatt. We told them in no uncertain terms when we met with management after our rally today, yesterday in the lobby, that we would not be back at this hotel if this was not solved 2 years from now. And, you know, that we'll stand with the Hyatt workers until this is done.
You mentioned that meeting that you had. What was the result of that meeting?
Well, I mean, you know, as you said, this is a union hotel. They try to, you know, do right by Local 24 here, at least when you nudge them. And so, you know, our message wasn't to them. Our message to them was, look, you're serious with us. You're serious with your employees. You take this stuff. You shoot straight. You know, everything's on the table. But you got to get the message to corporate that there's no fooling around about this anymore, that this is, you know, you're a global company, and we're going to treat you that way. You can't say, oh, we're just Dearborn, you know, that's not us. We can't do anything about it. You need to make sure that they understand their consequences at headquarters have impacts here on you here in Dearborn, and you need to make the message loud and clear that labor notes in particular, are not going to be at a Hyatt if there's ever a boycott called and unless they get these situations resolved.
Now, labor notes work won't end with this conference. You'll be going around the country doing these schools around the country to give workers ideas of how they can fight back and so on. Can you talk a little bit about that activity?
That's right. We really made a push when the economic crisis started, Jerry, to try to get out there right at the grassroots to do things that you could get almost anybody involved in. We organized 9 troublemaker schools last year. That's what we call them. And they blew us away. We had, you know, 250 people in New York, 175 people in Chicago, 300 people in the Bay Area. We went back to New York and had another one with 100 people with just groups that had come to the one before. We had Vermont, North Carolina, Detroit. We were all over. And what it really showed was there was a hunger to do something. And that, you know, was partly why we had hope that this conference would be big, that people would respond to the call. And so we're going to try to repeat that now coming out of this event and go back out into the grassroots to really take the spirit of this conference, the energy, the belief that, you know, an injury to one is an injury to all, and that we're actually going to put solidarity in motion, actually put it in practice out to where we live. Because if we only get together every 2 years, that's great, that helps us, but there are millions of people out there that we need to be connecting with, and there are thousands of rank and file activists that we work with every day who aren't getting that same, you know, shot in the arm. They're not getting that same juice. They're not getting that same inspiration and those same tools to go out and fight the fight. And so that's what we're going to be doing. If you know, we did this one in Chicago, you were a big part of planning it. We're going to be all over. So hopefully, you know, we're going to just keep exponentially growing these schools, growing our ability to get out and talk to rank and file workers, because you and I both know there's a ton of anger, there's a ton of energy, people are ready to do something. We just need to point them in the right direction and get them going.
So for those that are not linked into Labor Notes already, they're not subscribers to the magazine or don't know about the workers' schools, where can they go to get the information about
this? Well, the best place to go, of course, is our website, which is www.labornotes.org. But you can also, write us. We're here in Detroit, Michigan. We have an office in New York. Our phone number, 313-842-6262, and you can find out all you need to know. We sell dozens of books about, you know, how to cause trouble. Our best-selling book is The Troublemaker's Handbook. You can get your gear to make it loud and proud, Troublemakers Union. That's who you are. And so you can also find out how you can get more involved, how you can help bring this spirit to your community, to your organization. We do trainings, we do workshops, we do pretty much anything that anybody needs to help, you know, kind of stir the pot, to help get people moving, get out in the streets. So, you know, please look us up on the web, please get involved, you know, because this is a grassroots rank and file network. It's really how we're going to put the movement back in the labor movement.
Well, thanks for taking out the time to talk to me. I know you're going to be pulling your hair out right now with all that's going on with the conference.
We're getting to the finish line, Jerry. It's going to be great. It's unbelievable. The spirit of it. I mean, I haven't slept for days, but I don't need sleep because I got all the solidarity in this room. It's been amazing.
Well, thanks, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Well, next Saturday is May Day, of course, and there's all kinds of celebrations planned here in Chicago for May Day this year. Most importantly are going to be an event at Haymarket Square and then a big immigrants' rights march like we've had the last few years that will go for Union Park down to Daley Plaza. I was able to talk to Carmen Ortlov, who's a staff person for AFSCME here in Chicago, as well as a volunteer with the Illinois Labor History Society, and she talked a little bit about the plans for the Haymarket Square event this Saturday. Okay, I'm here with Carmen Ortlov, and you work with AFSCME, you're a staff representative with AFSCME, and you also volunteer with the Illinois Labor History Society, and you are working on plans for this May Day that's coming up. Can you talk a little bit about what the plans are?
This year we've got a special group, a delegation of 60 trade unionists coming in from Japan, and so they're going to be dedicating a plaque this year to worker solidarity at the Haymarket Square. That event's going to take place starting at 10 o'clock on May 1st down in Des Plaines and Randolph in downtown Chicago. And prior to that, we're going to be having a special jazz concert by the Mayumi Project. That's at the Velvet Lounge at 9 p.m. Friday, April 30th.
And I know there's also a big immigrants' rights march that's happening that same day on May Day, but there'll be some kind of integration of the two events to some degree, or?
Absolutely. And, you know, we have our event starting at 10 o'clock to ensure that everybody's able to get over and support the immigrant rights marches. And I think that this year, given what's going on in Arizona, it's going to be a particularly large and important year to make sure that we attend both events. In fact, we're making sure that we bring our delegation from Japan over to the immigrant rights march, too, because they're interested in and want to be supportive of those activities.
And talking about this Japanese delegation that's coming in the unveiling ceremony over at the Haymarket, this is part of a tradition now. The Haymarket statue that's at the Haymarket site has this ability to add plaques to the base from different unions around the world that see the Haymarket as an important event in labor history. And so that's what will be happening in this case, is the Japanese workers will be having an unveiling of a plaque there?
That's correct. Last year, the dedicated plaque was actually from the AFL-CIO on behalf of Workers of the World. But before that, we've had plaques from the COOT, the AFL-CIO down in Columbia. We have one from UNI, the International Labor Organization, as well as a plaque dedicated by Iraqi trade unionists. So it's really a worldwide important landmark, and we're happy to be able to have so many folks around the world take May Day as such an important event and join us in Chicago.
Now, is there a place that people can go to get more information about the events that will be happening around May Day? Is there a website or something that has this information available?
They can go to the Illinois Labor History Society.org, or they could also go to Facebook and punch in Illinois Labor History Society, and there's a webpage there as well.
I also spoke with Claudia Lacero. Claudia Lacero is with CONFEMEX, the Confederation of Mexican Hometown Associations here in Chicago. They're helping to put together the Immigrants' Rights March that will take place on May 1st. And I asked her to tell us about what's planned for that event.
My name is Claudia Lacero. I'm the elected secretary of the CONFEMEX, which is the Confederación de Federaciones Mexicanas.
And your organization is one of the organizations that's been involved in planning for this march on May 1st this year. What's going to happen this year?
That's right. CONFEMEX is one of the organizations that are involved, and we are very concerned about it, so we're going to be there again, once again this year. We're inviting to everybody to get together at Union Park at 1 o'clock, and from there we're going to start marching at 3 o'clock to Daley Plaza.
Besides CONFEMEX, what are some of the other organizations that are involved in planning the march this year?
As far as I know, some of the unions are involved, Centros Sin Fronteras, the Illinois Coalition, ICIR, some of the Federaciones, and some other organizations.
Do you think there'll be a big turnout this year because of the concerns about what's happened in Arizona? I know that's been a big topic amongst the immigrant rights community, obviously, in the last few days now, is this extreme anti-immigrant measures that were passed in Arizona. Do you think that will lead to a larger turnout, kind of like the way that the Sensenbrenner legislation led to a large turnout in 2006?
Could be. I mean, you know, it could be the opportunity for the organizations to come up again. As all of us, we remember in 2006 with the Sensenbrenner that was going on, and the people said, you know, enough, basta, and they come out and they go out of, and they come up to march on the streets. So it could be happen again this year of what is happening in Arizona and in solidarity with the Arizona community. We totally believe that, and we wanted to, we don't want to, for those things to happen again in other states.
I know there's also a lot of frustration right now with the fact that the Obama administration promised that immigration reform would be passed in the first year, and of course now we're well over the year and a half mark, and we still haven't seen anything happen.
That's right. We haven't seen anything. We're very concerned. I mean, there's a lot of people who are being, you know, struggling, and they're living fear. This year, one of the new things that I have seen this year is like the new roles of the youth. They're really, they're taking a role in leadership, organizing as students, and to be fighting for their own rights, because most of those students in this group are undocumented and they're not being afraid of saying it. So they're being saying it, they are undocumented and they're not afraid of it, and they're willing to, I mean, to continue with their fight regardless, no matter what.
Yeah, I've interviewed members of the Immigrant Youth Justice League a number of times for the program in recent months. They seem to have been kind of at the lead of some of the recent actions in Chicago.
Yes, they're been doing several activities, and once again, they're ready to be marching this coming Saturday, May Day.
Well, thanks for talking with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to having us once again, and to be taking this outlet to be talking about immigration issues.
Quick disclaimer here. I should point out that Claudia Lacero is not only a organizer in the immigrant rights movement here in Chicago, but actually is also my wife. So that explains the similar name. If you'd like a more complete list of the events happening around May Day in Chicago this year, and there's quite a few events happening throughout this week, next weekend, and the following week, all around May Day, then you should check out my blog. Within a day or so, I should have a listing up there of the various events. I'm still gathering those now. There's a lot of going on. And so hopefully within the next 24 to 48 hours, I'll have up my blog as comprehensive as I can a list of the events happening here in Chicago around May Day. My blog is pilsenprole.blogspot.com. The easiest way to get to my blog is to go to the Labor Express homepage, which is laborexpress.org. Again, that's www.laborexpress.org. And about halfway down the homepage, you'll see a link to my blog, pilsenprole.blogspot.com. And as I said, within the next 24, 48 hours or so, I should have up there a fairly complete, hopefully, list of all the events happening around May Day here in Chicago this year. Well, let's have a little music now. Ann Feeney, the folk music artist we've featured frequently here on Labor Express, was a guest at the Labor Notes Conference in Detroit this weekend. And one of these songs that she performed is one I think that's very appropriate, not only for this year's conference, but also for the immigrant rights movement and the news about the incredibly anti-immigrant legislation that was passed recently in Arizona.
Ya basta. Enough is enough. Ya basta. Enough is enough. You ask why are we angry? I say look at history. The cause of all our troubles, it is not a mystery. There are those whose lives are easy. There are those whose lives are rough. Now is the time for us to rise and cry out, enough is enough! Enough borders, enough nations, enough corporate exploitation, enough racist air pollution, enough racist institutions, enough chains, enough cages, enough starvation wages, enough highways, gas stations, thieving corporations, we won't take it anymore. Yeah, this is class war. We'll fight you in the streets and we will dance at your defeat. Ya basta! Ya basta! Melting pot will boil, and you only bring us closer with each war you make for oil. Each union that you break and each ballot box you stuff bring us closer to the day when we cry out, enough is enough! Enough greedy politicians, enough gender role traditions, enough hierarchies, enough of living on our knees, enough gouging of the planet, enough destruction of the earth, enough tearing of our flesh to see what the insides might be worth, or we won't take it anymore. Yeah, this is class war. We'll fight you in the streets and we will dance at your defeat. Ya basta! your bus stop. Now all around the world, the people are fighting back. Each day another shard of the system starts to crack. In Argentina and Chiapas, without rage and without love, the people are crying out, enough is enough! Enough war and occupation, enough propaganda stations, enough enforced reality, enough police brutality, enough nuclear arms and enough factory farms, enough stolen women's choices, enough silenced women's voices, we won't take it anymore. Yeah, this is class war, we'll fight you in the streets and we will dance at your defeat. Ya basta, ya basta. Enough words have been said, enough songs have been sung, enough protests have been had, enough banners have been hung. We are many, they are few, there's so much we can do when we use what we have learned and fight them on our own terms. Because they need us, we don't need them. It is our sweat and labor on which they all depend. They need us to drive their trucks, they need us to shine their crowns, they need us to be the cops who beat our comrades down. But what good are all those laws with no one to institute them? What good are all those guns if there's no one left to shoot them? We won't take it anymore. Yeah, this is class war. We'll fight you in the streets and we